して、
you have these chuck out there.
You know, I it won't be long.
The title of this message is God's Incorruptible Word. God's Incorruptible Word. And I just got a couple of comments before I get into the message. Make sure if you're trying to change somebody, that you're trying to change them into something that God wants and not something that you want. In first, in 2 Timothy 4:8, and that's a scripture that we just ran into recently, it talks about receiving a crown of righteousness. And the foundation or the basis for receiving that crown actually is to those who love the coming or His coming back, His appearance. That's a kind of the sign of real Christianity. Otherwise, condemnation is in us would cause people to be afraid of Christ's return. I don't know if you followed what I just said, but if we have condemnation and condemnation inside of us, we don't want Him to come back. And been there, done that. Also, one other thing I was thought of the other day is that I realized that I don't really have any favorite scripture verses anymore, because we have to be taking in the whole counsel of God and every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then one other thing, that by God's own will, He begat us with His word of truth. And I'm beginning to believe that God's word of truth is vital. It's not just any old thing that comes our way, but the truth. And it matters to God. And even if the church doesn't believe it, it still does. God's incorruptible word. In 2 Peter 1:21, it tells us that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that is the foundation or the way that today's Bible came into being. God spoke to the prophets, and they spoke to the fathers. And why God didn't speak audibly to everybody, I don't know. But that's His business. That's the way He did it. And I believe it. And I believe that what He does is the best way of doing it. And of course, without a God-given faith, men will never accept that. They'll never accept that God spoke to the holy men of old and that they were the prophets. Until the day of judgment, which will then be too late, and we, you know, that's what we're afraid of. There's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And we are told that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And I'm saying the word of God's truth, the incorruptible word. However, I have some bad news for some people. And faith does not come by hearing a false version of God's word. And as such, if men refuse to allow God to give them an inward love for God's truth, they will never experience faith. If we don't receive a love for the truth, we can't come into faith. You got me? But rather, they may spend a lifetime going to some church somewhere and someday die as an unbeliever. See, God ordained faith, which makes no sense to the natural, you know, guy that's got to see what, you know, has to see to believe, and it makes no sense. And person, and so the natural person says, if I can't see it or touch it, it doesn't exist. You ever been there? I've been there. And not, you know, not radically or anything, but however, a right relationship with God's eternal word, which Psalms 19:7 tells us, is perfect. And I like that, the way that it's worded. It says God's word or God's law is perfect. And it converts the soul. And, you know, that is what is happening to us. there's a soul conversion by God's word. And I kind of knew that, but now we're coming into an experience of it, so that we, you know, we know it by experience. And it does something to those who read and hear it with open minds and open hearts. In Hebrews 11:3, it confuses the natural mind and tells us that faith, or through faith, it actually says through faith in the King James, we understand, which actually makes no sense at all. No sense. To those who insist that they have to see in order to believe. In Romans 1:20, now these verses that we're familiar with, but they fit in perfect. In Romans 1:20, it tells us that what men can and do see is the evidence of things that exist that they can't see. The things that are all around us, even if we can't see them or with our natural eyes. And therefore, all men are without excuse. And that's what it says. And therefore, all men are without excuse. The things that we see are the evidence of what we can't see. And so Jesus said, the things that I do are the evidence that the Father is in me, because of myself I can do nothing. And of course, there are those who don't want to see, because then they would have to change their approach to things that, you know, they have to change their approach. It's like a girl named Kathy Ward had a little boy with crippled legs, and when she was prayed for, and I don't know who prayed for her, somebody did, and God straightened out his two little legs. He was just a baby. And she called her mother and wanted her mother to see him, and her mother wouldn't look. How bad does it get? See? We are told that God can even someday, or somehow, know the intents within our hearts. You know what? That's a big one. Yeah. That has puzzled me. Which allows God to judge all men accurately. If he knows the intents, that's a foundation for judgment. And in fact, as I keep reminding us, God has a thing which no man is able to understand, which is called foreknowledge, which allows God to judge men righteously because he knows the decisions they will one day make. He can judge them ahead of time because he knows what they're going to do. See, God knows us long before we are born and knows exactly what we will one day do and think. And so when God spoke through holy prophets of old, and because God himself is perfect, whatever God said were words of truth. They were perfect, as Jesus said in John 17:17. And since God's words are perfect, then when they are allowed to develop or grow within fertile ground or soil, they create something that nothing else is able to do. And or we are told in 2 Peter 1:4, God's words, as they develop within us, I mean within men, I'm putting it in my own word here, in an incorruptible state, develop the very divine nature of God within God's people. That's a miraculous thing. You know what? It's something that I believe. We're beginning to believe it. That word is developing something in me that's never been there. And of course, the spiritually ignorant natural man will consider this all as foolishness and insist that godly spiritual growth must go through the mind and then into the soul. And so men try to use their minds to access. Somebody here?
No.
To access the deep secrets of God, and they fail miserably. You know, that was the Jude 19 people. You know, use the mindsets, their intellect to try to, you know, they read the letter to try to figure out the spirit. The Jude 19 church group totally missed the way that God had things set up, and they apparently thought that God had given them their senses and their mindsets to do what God had given His Holy Spirit to do. See, that's the thing. God provided the Holy Spirit for a reason, but we bypass the Holy Spirit. And so they set up, so they ignored the Holy Spirit and set up their places of spiritual understanding, you know, like their Bible colleges and whatever, and seminaries, so as to fill men's minds and hearts with what their essential natural discernment considered to be the truth. It's a little shaky, but you can follow me. And so by ignoring the Holy Spirit and trusting their intellect, natural minds have... somebody said the other day that Billy Graham had referred to the church systems that we're familiar with as a mess, and because they have divisive heresies, damnable heresies, and false doctrines that make God's way of salvation evil spoken of. And I thought, when I saw that yesterday at the wedding, and I don't think anybody will hear it that would recognize it, but I looked at it and I thought, some of these people are calling themselves Christians, but there's no evidence of it. And, you know, that's one of the shortcomings of today's church. You can't tell a churchgoer from a non-churchgoer. They're all the same. There should be a separation. There should be a great big difference. You know, I want to go to heaven. And if it's going to cost something, I still want to go to heaven. I want the truth. If it's going to cost something, I still want the truth. And because God is spirit, which also makes what He spoke spiritual, natural-minded, letter-type people stumble at God's word and try to make natural sense out of it. You know, try to make natural sense out of something that is spiritual that they don't understand, and which is supernatural. And of course, speaking in tongues, even though it is firmly supported within the Old Testament as well as the New, it is one of the greatest stumbling blocks that the natural mind tries to understand. And of course, it does not and cannot make sense to the natural man. And in fact, it is difficult for those who try to walk in the Spirit to even understand it. It's difficult, it's hard enough for us. And I have mentioned this a couple of times, but when I begin to understand, you know, 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. I started to get that picture, but that's been only a few months ago. I got filled with the Holy Spirit 50 years ago. I didn't put that together because we're not equipped to put it all together. But what it did, it changed my whole approach to speaking in tongues. So now, when it says in verse 4 that he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, and then I noticed something else. Paul makes a statement and he says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will. In other words, I can do it because I want to do it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's more than thinking, well, you're only going to speak in the Spirit when the Spirit gives utterance, but it's not true. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. And so, God wants us to speak in tongues. And because it is a major act of faith, I had an awesome experience when I received the Holy Spirit over 50 years ago. And yet, only lately am I beginning to kind of see, I get ahead of myself, what I actually received. I'm only starting to understand it now. See, John 4:24, 20 and 24, Jesus said, God is spirit. And in verse 23, he says, true worshipers shall worship him, the Father, in spirit and in truth. True worshipers. It didn't say worshipers, it said true worshipers, which makes a difference. Mm-hmm. There are some people that aren't, they don't know, you know, kind of like the Samaritan woman. Jesus said, you know, you worship, you know not what. Well, we got a lot of people that worship, they know not what. Because the separation between the Creator and His creation is so great. And see, that's what people don't under, they don't get it. The difference between us and God is astronomical. We don't even, you know, it's kind of like, what is man that he is mindful of us? I can partially understand that. He is so awesome as to have created this whole thing. Like I, this, it hit me this morning when I think you were up talking, the fact that, you know, we, the worlds and everything was created by God. What about this sun that's hanging in space? How long has that been burning? Mm-hmm. Isn't it going to burn itself out at some point? If, you know, if it starts to get low, God will add fuel to it. So it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? I don't know that it needs fuel.
Or you could block it out.
Because, yeah. And so because the separation is so great, God uses our tongues in 1 Corinthians 14:2 to speak to himself without us even understanding what we are saying, which is an asset. And no wonder in verse 4 it says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That's why, because that is the offshoot of verse 2. And it makes no sense to the average churchgoer. And so, by faith, and not natural understanding, we speak as the Holy Spirit gives utterance, and thereby we worship God in spirit and in truth. Are we doing that? I think we're starting to. We're starting to get some truth in us. And I have been amazed at the amount of things that I had that were not truth, that I thought they were. Over the years, I've been amazed at it. But what happens is, you take the Bible, and that no wonder Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples, you will know the truth. You'll know the truth. If you continue in his word, you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And you know what? We have a lot of freedom. There's a lot of freedom that's taking place inside of me, so that I'm not stumbled when people try to tell me that Jesus is somebody besides man. I know what the scripture says. I know what lots of scriptures say. Mm-hmm. I know how they add to each other. So do you guys. You know what they say. And so when people say, well, he's a God. Based on what? Yeah. Where do you find that in the scriptures? You know? And so he uses our tongues to worship himself. His way. See, God is so awesome, and so that even though with God all things are possible, and his ways are past finding out, and what is man that God is mindful of him? He has created men with the ability to invent things that are phenomenal. Like my son Dale. Mm-hmm. He invents this thing, and the crane industry, it was a big organization, and the fellow that was over it, his nickname was Buzz Crane. And you've heard of crane tools and so forth. They're real popular. Well, anyway...
You mean the cranes that they... Those big...
No.
Machines, not that crane. Not that.
No, this... The guy's name was Crane. Mm-hmm. And anyway, he made the mistake. That's a funny thing, but the way that Dale invented the Magna Shear thing, was a Buzz Crane had kind of getting under his skin because he wanted to buy Dale's invention that Dale wouldn't sell him to. That's the way he got it. That's the way he got into business in the first place. People would invent something and he'd buy it for a small amount of money and then make a lot of money off of it. And so anyway, they were talking about having some kind of something that could cut off these boards without sawdust. And he said, it's impossible. It can't be done. Don't tell Dale that. And so as we get to know the greatness of God, it becomes obvious that the greatest inventions of men are as nothing in comparison to the greatness of the one who created all things. It doesn't matter. The great bombs, the great men, which are led about by principalities and powers.
God has to give it to them.
Huh?
If they're going to invent something, God has to give it to them.
Yeah, whatever is in them, God had to give it to them, sure. And so the ability they have and gifts that God has given to them is how they do it. And we see a bunch of things today, the singing abilities that some are praised for. Mm-hmm. And men are glorying within themselves. You know what? That's one of the reasons that I don't sing.
Yeah.
One day I said, I entertain.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it no more. And I haven't sung since. And it's not that there was some great voice, but it was average or so. And I don't want to be glory or be praised for my singing. I don't want anybody to clap when I sing. And because God will never be mocked. No flesh is going to glory in his presence. And so in 1 Corinthians 1:29, it tells us that. It says, no flesh shall glory in God in his presence. See, since all that we are and have was given to us by the mercy and the grace of God, and then God alone is worthy of praise and glory and honor in this life. You know, in Revelation 4:11, it says that he has created all things for his own pleasure. You know, that includes us. And so he alone will determine who gets what in the next life. You know what? I like it that way.
Yeah.
You remember how the disciples, they said, how can we be seated, James and John, one of us on each side? You know what? That was kind of ignorance that we used to have. You get to a certain point, I don't care. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God in due season, he will exalt you. I don't care.
Yeah.
But help me make it.
Yeah.
Let me make it. See? And oh, to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. Mm-hmm. It's obvious that at one time, nothing that we see existed. God is in a spirit realm. So the spirit forces, this is all something that's seeable with natural eyes. But the things that we see here, they didn't exist until God created them. And how did he create them from nothing? That's what it tells us. He had nothing to start with. He didn't have the molecules. He didn't have the protons, eons, neons, whatever, peons. And yet, men in ignorance come up with things like the Big Bang Theory, which alone shows ignorance and stupidity. As such, the Big Bang idea, as well as probably thousands of foolish ideas like it over the years, all require something already there to work with. You have to have, in order to have the Big Bang Theory, you have to have something, you got to have matter to start with. There has to be something. In order to have an explosion in the heavens, we had to first have a heaven. And so men ignore the existence of matter requirement and come up with really stupid theories, and we have lots of them. And you ever see that show, the Big Bang Theory? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I've watched it a couple of times, and it's stupid, of course. And as stupid as Charles Darwin's theories of evolution were, men would rather want to believe and even teach his foolishness, you know, what that's what it calls in 1 Timothy, it says, of science falsely so-called. Well, science meaning evidence or something gained by experience, you know, by experience. That's not that knowledge gained by eyesight, you know, stuff like that. They would rather turn to these things than to even consider the existence of a creator who has been proclaimed since the beginning of time. This Bible has proclaimed God for thousands of years, and as ironic as this all is, the brilliant minds with their brain cells put in just the right places by God were all created and put there by the one that they ignore. Is that crazy? And so you and I and Matt and many other people pray and plan for the next life, which most people write off as non-existent. And some want their bodies to be frozen in this life and then thawed out when all of the cures for diseases have been discovered. And of course that is called foolishness. I don't want my body frozen. I want it buried. Just bury the thing. And how are you going to get the soul back into it?
Yeah. Where is the spirit?
Are they going to call the soul? How are they going to get it back? Of course, many people don't even know they have one. That's hopeful ignorance. And the crazy thing is that except for God, they would not even exist. Their great minds would not exist. And I would not exist as to bring this message. Or would I try to reveal the incorruptible nature of God's perfect word? See, that's the title is the essence of this message. God's word is incorruptible. That means it's unchangeable. It's as it is. It abides forever. The crazy thing is that except for God, okay, I'm backtracking here. We are all the result of God's creative genius. And as such, except for God, who and what you and I are would not even be a consideration. And so God created us and all things that exist for his own pleasure. And when he spoke from the heavens over his son, he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." It wasn't a God son. It was a man son. And so, I mean, if it was a God son, he would have had to been pleased with him because he would have been a God. But it was a man. He said, "I'm pleased with him because he does what I ask him to do." And so God's desire is that we should please him. But since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, then God in his infinite wisdom and mercy designed a way, and only one way, that men and women can escape the penalty for their sinful nature. There's only one way, and that's through Christ. And God brought and be brought into a place where they are able to please God. And that is by them putting their absolute trust in God to save them from their inevitable disaster, and by allowing men to receive his sinless son into their lives so as to stand between men and God, a mediator between men and God. See that? And so that God sees Christ's righteousness in men. Now I can read this really well. It's not the reading problem. It's me, it's old age. so as to replace the obvious punishment that men would otherwise have to receive. Revelation 4:11, and of course I told you about this, tells us that God has created all things for his divine pleasure, and they were created for him, and in other words, he had not necessarily created men because he was lonely. I don't believe God created us because he was lonely. And he needed them. Because that's not what it said. He created them for his pleasure. And a lot of them have brought some displeasure, I'm sure. And I don't... You know, see, I don't need to ever go fishing again. And yet, I find pleasure in fishing and watching Chuck catch all the fish. I mean, it's a poor illustration, but you know what I'm saying? And so because God thought man up, see, he thought us up. We are his invention, mm-hmm. his creation, his thinking. This was his idea. He made us. And then created man. He also then can set up all of the conditions that he wants men to live by. That makes sense. God can make the conditions. Well, some men don't believe that. That's too bad. You'll find that out someday. And so since God is spirit and invisible to the natural eye, God in his infinite wisdom designed a substance, Hebrews 11:1, it calls it, faith is a substance, that the just are to live by. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the way Hebrews 11 starts. And as mysterious as faith is to those who don't have it, or to the natural-minded men, it is totally and absolutely necessary for men to exercise it in order to please God. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. And of course, the very idea of faith is foolish to the wise and the prudent and the natural-minded people who trust the intellect and the things that appear obvious to them, to their life. You know, they see things and it looks obvious to them. And so that's what they trust. That, you know, in 2 Corinthians 5:7 it says, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And so is it any wonder that men stumble and fall when they try to discover God, if there really is one? How do you find God if your thought pattern is, if he really exists? You know what I mean? You can't approach it that way. You have to approach him, you know, I think there is one, so I want to find it. And, or by using their own pathetic mindsets, their senses. And human logic, you know, that has developed within them from their association with a devil-controlled world. This world is controlled by the devil. It is no wonder that the intellectuals resist the Bible and God's words of spirit nature. They have been programmed by years. I mean, church within the churches they have been. They have been programmed for years of Antichrist propaganda. I like that. Antichrist propaganda. That the devil has fed into the minds and the hearts of those that are not looking for God and truth, but rather are facing the wrath of God one day. See? Did I say that right? People have been programmed by the years of Antichrist propaganda that the devil has fed into the minds and the hearts of those that are not looking for God, but rather will face the wrath of God one day, the one, the God of all truth and all knowledge and all wisdom and all understanding, that's kind of almost a complete thing here, that has created us all things that exist, knows that he has given men so much evidence of his existence so that on the day of judgment, all men will be without excuse. We just read that. And what the vast majority of men don't understand and realize, and even most churchgoers, unfortunately, is that the Bible really is the words of eternal life. They really are. I didn't understand how until we started listening to God put that in us. And the fact that as many are listening as they are, and the fact that God has made sure that this little Wonder Bible is in circulation, and you buy it in different stores, Walmart, and you know, a lot of the stores, you can buy this little Wonder Bible. And
yeah, Walmart has it. I mean, they actually have it there now. You can get it off the shelf. Where before you had to order.
Oh. Now okay. You can buy it right direct now.
Yeah. In fact, now they have a Wonder Bible for kids that has Bible stories and music and different things.
God is in that one.
Yeah.
Because what that'll do, that'll make it. See, it's one thing to read the Bible.
Yeah.
It's a different. It's something else to hear it.
Yeah.
And I have been, I've read the Bible for years. Mm-hmm. Once I started listening to it, it was different.
Yeah.
It's like you're picking up something. I suppose if you read it enough, like Smith Wigglesworth did, all he had was the Bible to read, and that's what he did, wore him out. See, this word is a revelation of God. It's who God is, how God thinks, what God wants, and all that he wants us to know. And so if to know God is actually the foundation of eternal life, and the Bible is actually the revelation of the Creator given to men through holy men of old, then is it any wonder that a voice somehow by or from God, I don't know, if it was, I just know a voice spoke, but there was nobody there. You ever hear that? I hear music, but there's no one there. Remember that song? Well, there was nobody here, but there, a voice spoke and talked. It shook me up. And, you know, it's like, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Well, so now, okay, the voice woke me up, which needed to happen. And you start to rise from the deadness of churchianity, and they start listening to the scriptures, if you will continue in my word, and Christ will give you light. There's a picture. See, if you want to find me, you have to look for me where I am. You know, that was and is a major revelation, because people look in the church. I go to church to find God. Well, lots of luck. And of course, the devil works hard to keep this revelation from men. And so, if and when men will do what the Bible clearly tells us to do, like, you know, John, like I was telling John 8:31-32, if you, you know, whosoever will continue in God's word through Christ, it creates disciples out of them, you know, for Christ, and it establishes the only truth that exists. It establishes the only truth that exists. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And when that truth, by faith, becomes our inherited nature, it makes us free. As a result, something that just happened to me recently, the truth becomes so obvious in so many areas, so that when someone voices a false doctrine and believes it to be the truth, that we are not even tempted to try and convince them against their will. And that's another thing. I had a visitor just the other day, and but anyway, at one time a few months ago, when Joanne was still here, this individual gave me a lecture on some truth, but it wasn't truth. Mm-hmm. But I didn't say anything, and this individual stopped in the other day, and it's kind of useless to try and convince the individual because they have been brainwashed for so long in certain areas. You just can't do it, see? And so when truth becomes your inherited nature, then that's the divine nature of Christ, of God. It makes you free. As a result, okay, I went back right here. And so what you do is instead you pray for him and you wait for God to allow you to present the scriptures of truth to help them that you are aware of. And I am. See, so many people for so many years have been presented with twisted verses of scripture. They are. You know, Peter talks about some that take the writings of Paul and use them for private interpretations and twist them. But there are people who have had things that have been in their teaching that they have been taught for so long that it only the Spirit of God is able to ever untangle what they think. And so rather than get into a foolish argument, you may have to exercise some patience for their sake. And you got to know sometimes. You know, Tim is good at, you know, we have some talks once in a while, and I think Tim has a good understanding of that. You have to wait on God. In 1 Peter 2:8, Jesus is referred to as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and especially to those who stumble at his word. And my question would be, when did most people not stumble at God's word? You know, people have always stumbled at it. So, and especially because they were disobedient. That's what it says. Because they were disobedient, they stumbled at God's word. And don't we see major stumbling today over who Christ is and therefore the entire Godhead picture? The Godhead picture is really a confused mess. And if most people read that Christ is a man within the scriptures, but are taught within their churches that he is a God, do they then not stumble? Does that not make them to stumble? Mm-hmm. If you read one thing and you're taught something else? For years, there were certain things that I read in the scriptures and was taught something else. Does that stumble you? Confuse you? Sure it does. And no wonder Jesus asks, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, you know, I was thinking, today the scriptures plainly tell us that the Son of Man is the man Christ Jesus. And in fact, from Genesis to Revelation, and yet the Antichrist in 1 John 4:1-3, it tells us, since Christ had done... Like Antichrist tells us, you know, it says that the spirits of God will confess that Jesus is came in the flesh. But the Antichrist, when he comes, he's going to confess something else. Well, there's only one other option. If he didn't come in the flesh, where'd he come in? Mm-hmm. There's only flesh and spirit, you know. And so the Antichrist wanted to deceive the church, and he's done a good job of it, as to who Christ is and what he does, and what is recorded in the Bible. And so they look at what he did, and they say he must be a God. See, the Gentile church, the Gentile Christians, are the ones that introduced Christ as a God. Just push, yeah.
You know what, it's Dale.
It was.
You want to just have him call you back in 5 minutes? Or 10 or whatever.
Hello?
Dad?
Yes. No, it's okay.
Good.